How will the world meet growing energy demand while reducing emissions? What technology, human capital, policy, and education is needed to making the energy transition a reality? What are the myths and hard truths about all forms of energy, our environment, and our economy? The Voices of Energy sets out to explore these questions with the people at the heart of making these changes a reality. We'll go from conversation to application by focusing on actionable strategies that will drive the world and our industry into a new era. I'm Katie Maynard, founder and CEO of Ally Energy, and this is the Voices of Energy.
Katie, I love being around smart women. I love that unlike 15 years ago when I started at the predecessor company Spectra, where I was the only woman in the room, I like it that now we have made some progress. I think we have a ways to go, but nothing charges me up like getting in a room and seeing women be the rock stars that they are. It's absolutely the most fulfilling thing in my career is mentoring women and seeing them succeed.
Thank you so much. Caitlin Tesson is our guest today, and I'm Katie Maynard with the Voices of Energy podcast. Caitlin is the Vice President of Strategy and Market Innovation at Enbridge here in Houston, Texas. She spearheads a team that specializes in new energy investments, focusing on emission reduction activities and new lines of business such as renewable natural gas, hydrogen, and carbon capture. We want to dive into all of the new and exciting things that they are working on, while also giving Caitlin an opportunity to speak on her role within Enbridge's Include program around diversity, equity, and inclusion. Caitlin, thank you so much for joining us today.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
So in preparing for today's chat, I quickly realized that we could have you on as a guest in like a four-part series. So energy transition, right? Talk about that. D&I, succeeding as a working mother, and obviously mentoring women and working moms in the workplace. So obviously my first question out of the gate to you today is, what does it feel like to be a rock star human?
Very tiring, Katie. It's tiring, but fulfilling. There's definitely a juggling act in both trying to progress the energy transition, doing things that as a company and as an industry we haven't done before. It is a unique and fun, I think, challenge. And then also just like a lot of women and men that would be listening to this, just balancing all of the other parts of life that are more important than work, like your family. So it's a juggling act and you don't always succeed, but it's good. It's tiring, but good.
Excellent. Well, I think you're a superhuman. I think it's awesome. And obviously we love hearing the stories of those that are successful in the workplace, both in their professional and personal lives. So, okay, we always start with really cool icebreaker questions so our audience can get to know you. So my question to you is, in an alternate universe, what would your profession be? So if you weren't doing what you're doing today, where would you be? This is you telling your boss, if I could be here, I would go here. So tell your boss, where would you be?
It's funny, Katie, growing up, I had this idea that I wanted to be a marine biologist. Until I realized that fish have a very unique smell that I was not a fan of. So I think pivoting from that growing up and probably still today, I would trade places with the Katie Couric's of the world and be on the Today Show or some national broadcast anchoring a morning show. I think that would be a dream job. I think it'd be so interesting.
Well, Caitlin, you and I will just have to stay in touch because we might have something to do together in the near future.
Let's do it.
Awesome. So now that we've whet everybody's appetite, okay, tell us the history. So background, how did you end up in energy?
So I went to Rice for undergrad. And as you well know, living here in Houston, it's the energy capital. And so after college, I went to work for Spectra Energy, a predecessor company of Enbridge, which I know you know well. And I started in their public affairs department. and just really got my feet wet, learning everything I possibly could about natural gas infrastructure and transportation. I went and worked up in New Jersey for several years on a large growth project of ours, and came back, went back to Rice, got my MBA, and then came over to the commercial side. So I was doing pipeline development in the Northeast, and I had my first daughter and wasn't super jazzed up about what I was doing and thought maybe I would stay home. And my boss at the time said, "Hey, why don't you go figure out this ESG stuff?" And I think for about 2 years, that was my job description, a blank piece of paper, which is fun and challenging in its own right. But in over the last 4 or 5 years, I've been spearheading the energy transition efforts for the gas business.
OMG. So I get to interview amazing women all day long, and you get to spearhead energy transition efforts around gas. Maybe we could swap a day. Now, I'm not Katie Couric, although I do have the Katie going for me.
I know you're halfway there.
I am halfway there. I just, you know, she's got a little more polish, but we'll get there. But no, I mean, that is such a fascinating thing because, I mean, the energy transition is about new. It's about maybe tapping, you know, the feminine side of the world and getting more, you know, obviously women and people who've not been in our industry to be a part, right, of this new future. And as you know, I mean, gas and oil, it's not going to go away. This is a marathon, right? But we got to pick up the pace, and emissions are really important. And I know that's really important to Enbridge. So under that realm, let's dive into that. Based on your experience and projects, what trends do you kind of see emerging in this transition?
So no surprise, and you've seen it in the industry, the 2030 interim target type goals and 2050 goals, Enbridge has comprehensive goals, both from an emission reduction as well as diversity goals out there. And I think, you know, from a trend perspective, I think that you are going to see very proactive projects focused on reducing emissions on the existing gas system. I always like to say we need to keep our pipes used and useful. And so we need to make sure that we're doing our part to reduce emissions, both from an operating perspective and in building new projects. Because as you said, Katie, in every scenario, natural gas is a complement to renewables. And we need to make sure that reliability and affordability is at the top of the list as we're transitioning. I also think that things like hydrogen, carbon capture, which are a little bit further down the road, I think a trend you'll see is smaller kind of bite-sized pilots. And we have some of those in Enbridge on the hydrogen front. And I think it's really just laying the groundwork for a network in the future where we're potentially utilizing the same infrastructure, but just moving different products that have lower carbon footprints.
Well, I left the industry, 8 years ago to start this crazy thing. And you've already got me thinking, I need to grow it, sell it, and then come back because the future is so incredibly exciting. I mean, when you think about, well, in our industry, we built the infrastructure in this country, right? We built what I like to call energy 1.0. And those were the wildcatters and the people that took risks. And then obviously big companies like yours, you know, came in and scaled technology. Now you've got all these entrepreneurs that are looking in the adjacent, right? Hydrogen, CCUS, geothermal, all these different technologies. This is such an exciting time. I'm curious. Creativity in energy definitely stems kind of from diversity. And now that we're in this new age of innovation and creativity, well, we got to get that from somewhere. That's not like the machines or the capital are going to make this happen, right? It's going to be about the people. So I'm curious, tell me a little bit more about the people side of the house. And where do you see, you know, the workforce piece going in Enbridge? And maybe we can touch a little bit about, you know, diversity as well. But where do you think the energy workforce, the future is for Enbridge, given the business strategy?
Yeah, I mean, I think innovation is one of those buzzwords that people talk about a lot. And it's very simple. You know, the definition, the dictionary definition is just a new idea or introducing something new. And I'm a firm believer that you can't have new ideas with homogenous thinking. So if everybody in the room starts at the same place, has the exact same experience, you're not going to get the beauty of the diversity of thought and people that challenge the status quo. And I think that the only way we continue to transition and we continue to do industry-leading things like we've done it at Enbridge with our behind-the-meter solar self-power program, which is what I'm probably most proud of, just specifically in my current role, having worked with the team to start that. I think the workforce of the future is going to be adaptable. I think what we've shown and what you were just talking about, Katie, is that as an industry, we do a good job of being adaptable and flexible and responding to market and responding to customers. And so we have a pretty robust program to cross-train employees, to cross-train our operators in the field, to think about how to complement our existing infrastructure with technology. And so I think it'll be an interesting future, but have the same principles of owning infrastructure, operating infrastructure, and having people that are invested in, you know, the success of the communities that they live in.
Okay. I am so excited about what you just said, because if I'm a candidate, if I'm a young person, or maybe even an experienced hire person, sell me in a few words on why I'd come and work for Enbridge, because I know based on the work we do with you, how great you are, but you know, the world is full of digital messages, full of noise, right? What do you think are some key attributes that make this an exciting place to be? You're in the infrastructure business. You know, you move product across the country. We make, as like some people like it, we make stuff go, right? Except it's the other word. We make it work. So I'm curious about when you think about that person that we need to tap outside of the industry, or maybe it's someone within the industry that's young, or it's someone we're trying to reach because we need to get them into our business. What do you tell them?
I would say that in a few words, Enbridge represents stability and also, I think, agility. So I would say if you're coming in, if you've been in the industry or not, Enbridge has been around for a very long time for a reason. We have disciplined capital approaches and all the things that you'd want to see to guarantee your paycheck and your pension and all of that stuff. But I would say that specifically in the last 5 years, there has been an enormous focus on where we're going as a company in the long haul. And we're putting our money where our mouth is from a sustainability perspective. We have publicly announced sustainability-backed loans and bonds that tie us to our emission reduction and our energy transition goals. So it's not just greenwashing. It's not just trying to lure you in to a fossil fuel company. We are very well diversified. We have a large renewable power business. We have the largest utility in Canada where we're trying out new things every day, industry leading. And so I would say, bring your creativity and join my group, because my job description these days is to challenge the traditional lines of thinking and to push internally and externally as an industry to make sure we're doing the right thing from a climate change perspective.
Well, I want to come work for you, but
come on,
we'll talk about that later. Well, we're going to have to work together no matter what. I'm telling you, I think that it's amazing, you know, going through this transformation, like you talked about, going through this innovation. And then when you think about it, it really gets back to what you said. We need different perspectives. And by the way, I mean, I could be going out on a limb here, but that doesn't just mean men and women. You know, I mean, we obviously need to include a wide range of people. So speaking of that, I think it's really cool that you have an initiative called Include, or you have a group, kind of an affinity group inside the company called Include. How did that get started and how did you get involved?
The Enbridge we call them employee resource networks, but they are affinity groups for, you know, the women in Enbridge. We have, you know, women focusing on STEM. We have people of color. We have lots of different affinity groups. And really, the genesis of the sponsorship of me and a colleague of mine, Kurt Bernecki, in the program was just, how do we complement kind of the existing D&I training that we have as a company and a focus, now a core value diversity is? So The goal was to go beyond, I think, a traditional training program or computer-based learning and make it experiential for employees. And so we've hosted over the last 2 years, you know, more than thousands of employees in small and large groups where they get together on a specific topic, gender, mental health, race, and they talk about their experiences. And it's a place where they can be vulnerable. It's a place that I know I've been where I've asked questions or maybe I was embarrassed to ask before, and people assume positive intent and they learn from each other. And so it's something that I'm very proud of and that I think as an organization moves us all forward in the right direction, because if you can't learn from your colleagues and your peers, like how are you going to ever advance your thinking? And everybody comes from a different background, whether, you know, whether it be where you grow up, where your family came from, where you've lived, all of your different interactions form who you are. And that uniqueness is something that I think needs to be shared.
Well, and I absolutely. And I think, you know, the more I listen to what you're talking about, fostering inclusion is a way we get at energy equity. And I know that equity is important to our industry, making sure we have affordable, reliable energy, but making sure that we're sustainable. So it's balancing, right, between the world of fossil fuels and the world of alternatives. But people have to be bought into that and they have to feel like they're included, right? And that, and fostering that inclusion internally, the fact that you have those tough conversations, the fact that you have those frank, crucial conversations, you encourage that. That says to me that the culture, obviously at Enbridge, is very inclusive, which is important because you can't see that from the outside. You know, I tell people all the time, it's very hard to know what you see. People, so I know your colleague Bouchon in innovation. I will never forget. He called me and said, come and see. He used to work with my husband. Come and see our innovation lab. And I'm like, okay. And of course I go over to the building and it's, you know, it's the brown building. And I go in and, you know, I walk through the halls, which still, I don't know if they still look the same, but they look like when I was, you know, there at Spectra years ago. And I get to the innovation floor and wow, how immersive and experiential, like you were talking about. Experiential is so, you know, important. There are a lot of things that have to happen, you know, in an environment. And I remember telling him, I'm like, are you going to outfit the whole joint like this? Are you going to change, you know, the way even the office feels, you know? So it's so great to hear your perspective on this, because creating an experiential workplace, creating a place where people can create and go outside of those lines, it's like you said, it's about stability, but agility.
Absolutely. And I think if you feel like you have to come to work and hide pieces and parts of yourself or have sort of a masked version of who you actually are, like you're not, you know, as a company, we're not getting the absolute value out of you participating as one of our teammates. And two, like you're not going to share that idea that you've been thinking of because you don't know if it's the right thing to do. And so I think that the closer on this journey we can get to where people feel like they can come genuinely as themselves and contribute to their maximum amount at work, we all win. And that's the only way I think that we're going to get, you know, to continue to have one of the best based businesses in North America, but also lead the charge in the energy transition, is when people come to work feeling good, ready to contribute ideas that haven't been thought of yet. And that to me is what's exciting.
Well, and what I'm excited about too is you grow that culture inside the company, and that's what you reflect externally in the communities in which you operate. And as you know, we operate in some daunting, you know, environments. We have to deal with communities everywhere where we operate and respect those communities. But when we show true respect internally and we show that we lead the way, that's what you would, you know, you would send out to the world of digital, you know, if somebody's wanting to know what it's like, right, to work. I don't have to tell people. I mean, I will say it, but you are winning awards left and right. I've seen all of the accolades in the last 2-3 years. I would wink, wink, nudge, nudge, encourage you to apply for the best energy workplaces and get you to encourage you to get some GRIT Award nominees, because this is a great way to take the credit for all of your hard work. You know, I know you're shaking your head and And it's hard, you know, in industry, we're very heads down, focused on delivering the goods, right? Delivering energy to people safely, responsibly, all of those things. But at the end of the day, we've got to take credit and we've got to put ourselves out there. And congratulations and kudos to Enbridge for all of the recognition you're getting. I think that's just a true testament that you, like you said, you believe in ESG, you live it, you breathe it, you know, you walk the walk and talk the talk. So
absolutely. And I think you're right. We have amazing teams up and down this company, and we probably don't do our best job in promoting necessarily that all the time. But I think with where employee and competition for the best and the brightest, absolutely. I think the more we can tell people who we are, what we stand for, where we're going, the better off we'll be as a company, because there's a lot of really smart, talented people out there. And there's definitely a competition for that.
Okay. Well, wow. We have a couple easily more conversations that we have to have, but I'm going to wrap this up so that you can give us your thoughts on this last question. It's a burning question we kind of throw at everyone. We ask all of our guests this year, and that is, what is something you wish people asked you about that you've never had the chance to talk about? So this gives you a bit of a platform to speak on something different.
I think it's a great question. And what I would say is that I spend a fair amount of time lovingly and enjoying speaking to specifically women and in Enbridge as a mentor. And I also have women that mentor me. And I think, you know, you talked about being a working mother at the start of this. You know, I have four kids.
Four kids. How old?
14, 11, 5, and 3.
What? You still got somebody in diapers? Maybe.
No.
Okay, we're out of diapers. Right,
we're out of diapers. Celebrate.
Wow. Four kids. You are a superhuman. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that just amazes me. I have one and I complain like it's hard with one, but four, you must have a very supportive support structure around you. So
I do. I have a great husband. I have a great support structure. I think that could be a totally different podcast, but just telling women, you know, they always ask, what's the silver bullet? Like, how do you do it all? And my answer is always very clear. And it's, I don't, and it's hard. And nobody has this Instagram life where they have everything together. You know, nobody comes in talking about how their three-year-old had a 40-minute tantrum because they dropped their jacket on the driveway before school. You know, it's just do the best you can and recognize that when you're at work, you will sometimes feel like you're letting your family down. And when you're with your family, sometimes you'll feel like you're letting work down. And in aggregate, you just need to be able to feel good about both and recognize that it's hard and it's okay to ask for help. I definitely do not have a silver bullet, but I think we don't give enough credit to whether it's women or, you know, men that are managing various household tasks, just the amount of juggling and brain power that goes into a single day, I think is astounding and should be celebrated with standing ovations every day. You make it through another day and your kids are fed and in bed and you still have a paycheck, and that should be a win someday. So I guess my message is just that there's not a silver bullet there, and just do your best.
That is such a great way to close today's episode. I want to thank you so much first for mothering four amazing humans that I know will go on and to do great things in this world. Second, for your commitment to the environment and the commitment to the future that we're building, you know, for that next generation of talent. My daughter Allie and I appreciate you leading this charge. It's a big one. Our country is counting on us. Our infrastructure, we're shoring that infrastructure up. There's so many opportunities here in North America, you know, with all of the push, you know, to really kickstart the transition and get more people excited about it. And you all are living it and breathing it and doing the right things. And so, and lastly, because you touched my heart, I mean, it's our obligation to be allies to the next generation and pulling those women up and giving them the advice that you've given. So thank you so much, Caitlin Tuckland, for coming today on the Voices of Energy podcast. I am your host, Katie Maynard. and we'll see you soon on the next episode.
Appreciate it, Katie. Thanks.